Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hi all, and welcome to the second episode in our two-part series on stress overload in the workplace. In our last episode, we discussed some steps that HR can take to help prevent stress overload from occurring in the first place. If you haven't listened yet, then do so now. Today, we'll be discussing the steps you should take when it's clear that preventative measures haven't worked. I'm joined by Laura Barry, HR consultant with Insight HR, and Mary Cullen, founder and managing director. Hi, both.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Mary, many of our listeners are likely familiar with the term burnout. It's even something we mentioned on our previous podcast. Now, I've always associated that term with stress overload. So, for instance, you've been stressed and busy for too long and your body and mind just crashes or burns out. Would you say that that's a fair comparison?
Yeah, I mean, I think the World Health Organization describe it as a syndrome resulting from chronic workplace stress. It actually is recognized as a medical diagnosis now. And while it can be used, I guess, casually as a term, it's very much a medical condition resulting from chronic workplace stress.
So, Laura, how is stress overload usually communicated to HR? Are there specific signs and symptoms that HR should look out for?
Yeah, well, I suppose, Sarah, workplace stress is often communicated to HR when it has manifested and has become a real issue for the employee. Generally speaking, Sarah, the first point of contact is with the line manager, I suppose, in the first instance. But I suppose, you know, more often than not, when it becomes a serious issue, that's when HR gets involved. So I suppose if there are patterns of absenteeism, HR may need to arrange a welfare meeting with the employee, or indeed organise for the employee to attend an occupational health doctor. So the purpose of that then would be to, determine if reasonable accommodations need to be made for that particular employee. But just in relation to the signs and symptoms of workplace stress, and I know I referred to them earlier, you know, you do see the physical signs in a workplace with employees becoming withdrawn, productivity very low and concentration and anxiety levels and all that type of thing. So I suppose for HR, Sarah, and in my own experience of dealing with workplace stress, I would have always felt it was very important for HR professionals to monitor, I suppose, the number of complaints or number of formal grievances coming through. Also looking at retention rates and turnover rates, because I suppose if you've done exit interviews, it's a great way of determining why the person is leaving and so on. But certainly, you know, there are early signs with employees that can determine that stress is definitely in the workplace.
So Mary, when it comes to addressing stress overload, what exactly is the role of HR and where does management come in?
Yeah, well, I guess first off, you might need to understand, you know, a term like burnout from a HR perspective and understand what that actually is. So, you know, I think it can be categorized into three areas: overload burnout, under challenge burnout, and neglect burnout. So when it comes to overload burnout, you know, typically you're seeing that an employee is working harder and more frantically. in search of that success. And they're willing to risk their own health and well-being and sacrifice their personal life in pursuit of their ambition. And typically you might hear an employee like that complaining, and that's how they're coping with overload, burnout. So they're complaining that they're always busy, that they've got so much on their plate, that they're running from meeting to meeting, that they've got so many deadlines or tasks as part of their work. So that would be overload burnout. When it comes to under-challenge burnout, that's where you typically have an employee who's feeling underappreciated or bored, and that there's a lack of learning in their role. You might see in that particular employee a lack of passion, a lack of enjoyment in the work that they're doing, and they're coping by distancing themselves from the job and from the colleagues that they meet with and interact with on a daily basis. And often this manifests in being indifferent, being cynical, avoiding responsibility and disengagement. And then you come to neglect burnout. And when you're looking at neglect burnout, that's when you find somebody feeling absolutely helpless at work. They feel incompetent, and they're unable to keep up with the demands of the work and become passive and unmotivated. So from a line management perspective, obviously all of those burnout issues are a challenge for them in terms of how they deal with that employee. And so you'll often see things like, you know, performance improvement processes or disciplinary processes to deal with those who may be suffering from burnout because of under challenge or neglect burnout. And when you have your overload burnout, which is something we hear about often, that's where someone just breaks down because they simply cannot continue doing what they've been doing all along. And so HR's role really becomes, I guess, in supporting the line management to, one, recognize what they're dealing with, to address it appropriately in the first instance, to support the line management in performance improvement processes or disciplinary processes if they're necessary, and obviously then looking at the broader organization and thinking about whatever framework that they need to put in place to ensure that mental health at work is at the forefront of the HR agenda. So that's probably a bit of a long-winded explanation, but I think it was important to set it out clearly there.
That's great, Mary. Very informative. So thank you for that. Laura, so let's say you became aware that an employee or employees were suffering from stress overload. What are some of the steps that you would put in place to help address this?
Okay, Sarah. Well, I do think HR need to ensure there are clear guidelines in place relating to managing stress. So I suppose all managers should be aware of these and have the appropriate skills to deal with this. And HR really should support this also. To address stress in the workplace, I suppose the steps that I would implement, I would certainly always recommend the line manager to speak informally with the employee, keep an open mind, to be compassionate, understanding, and to listen. I suppose you really don't know how bad a person may be feeling until you speak with them. So always try to identify the cause in the first instance between the line manager informally and with the employee. looking at the employee's workload with them, maybe what's working, what's not working, if there are any interventions or if there's any support that they may need. You know, and I do think as well, many organizations now are availing of employee assistance programs. So they're a great resource or a benefit to have within an organization, that employees, I suppose, can feel that they can speak to somebody completely impartial, depending on what the situation is.
That's great, Laura. Thanks. Mary, what would your advice be to HR professionals when it comes to addressing stress overload in the workplace? I know we've kind of touched on some of it already.
Yeah, and Laura's summary there is very useful, and particularly for when you're dealing with the individual. And I think so often, you know, the compassion with which we must work with employees gets overlooked, and the irritation about, you know, work not being done or the impact of their absence or the impact of them not performing at their best. But at a broad level, from the organizational perspective, I think it's really important that HR look at developing an organizational framework, where they're prioritizing mental health in the workplace by developing and delivering a systematic program of activity. So what is it that's going to be included in your well-being initiatives? How are you tackling stress at a broad level? You know, it's great to see so many organizations with mental health at the forefront of their agendas. But in order for it to be effective, it can't just depend on an individual champion in HR. It's got to be something that HR spread across an organization, and leadership, the senior leadership in particular, must take it on board if it's to have any impact or effect within the organization. When it comes to designing work and organizational culture, it's really important that HR are involved in proactively driving positive mental health outcomes. And that means, you know, what hours of work are our employees expected to do? What kind of deadlines are we setting for people? Are people challenged enough at work? Are they learning and developing as part of their normal processes? Are people feeling helpless at work because of the behavior of colleagues or people managers? I think that's really important for HR to consider. And it takes, I guess, a level of bravery from HR, because these are things that might need to be tackled at the senior management level. Because if we're going to change culture, we've got to look at the senior leadership and embed it in the organization so that we're not damaging people's health. I think it's really important to promote that open culture around mental health so that employees feel that they can safely discuss these issues in the workplace. So many people who are unwell or who are who find that their mental health is deteriorating hide it in the workplace, and are afraid to disclose to their line manager that there is a problem because they fear for their job security in the future. And unless we have an open culture in the organization around mental health, I think that's going to continue to be the case into the future, irrespective of what inspirational speakers you bring in as part of a health and well-being initiative. Increasing organizational confidence and capability is always important, and providing the mental health tools and supporting the line manager to deliver the best possible care when it comes to employees. That's particularly important right now when we're dealing with a distributed workforce. because people in their homes may be feeling quite isolated and may be suffering from overload or under challenge or neglect, burnout. And, you know, the line manager is trying to address and deal with those kind of issues. And unless they're trained and developed and recognize what some of those symptoms might be, then all they're seeing is a problem, an underperformance or overperformance that's worrying. And I think it's really important to track from HR perspective. Like Laura says, if you're getting complaints, if there are grievances, if you're hearing that people are exhausted, if people are going out of work on stress leave, you have a problem at an organizational level. And in order to achieve better mental health outcomes for employees, it is something that HR really needs to tackle and go about building a simple and systematic organizational framework that will work.
That's brilliant, Mary. Thanks a million for that. That was an information-packed episode today. So really, really good. Makes my job now even more challenging because I have to try and condense it down to three key takeaways. So I'm going to do my absolute best here. I'm going to start off with HR's role. So my first takeaway is HR's role should be to support line management, to recognize signs of stress overload, also to support line management to put performance improvement plans in place or any other kind of plans that may be necessary to improve performance there, or arrange reasonable accommodation for employees who are suffering with stress. And HR's role is also to look at the organizational culture. So, you know, kind of where are these complaints stemming from? Is there an open culture in the environment? That kind of a thing. My second key takeaway is that, bear with me as I'm flicking through the pages. HR should be supporting line managers to also recognize the signs of stress overload. So my second key takeaway is that burnout itself is actually a medical condition, and it comes in a few different types. So there's overload burnout, which is when you maybe have too much on your plate, or this could be particularly prevalent in overachievers, people who are really trying to overachieve and they're putting too much onto their plate, or it could be, you know, that too much is being put on them from an organizational point of view. There's also under challenge burnout. So the symptoms of this actually could be that an employee who might always be complaining, that they're underappreciated, or that they're bored. Perhaps there's a lack of learning in their role, or they're showing a lack of passion or enjoyment. And also neglect burnout. So that's the third type of burnout there, which is when an employee might feel helpless and have feelings of incompetence and that they can't do their role correctly. So far, that's only been two takeaways. So I'm going to give you my third one now. I have so much stuff written here, and it's so hard, like, because this is such an interesting episode and there really is so many important points to take away from it. So, yes, when it comes to actually addressing workplace stress, in the first instance, so if HR receives a complaint of stress overload in the workplace, in the first instance, maybe encourage the line manager to speak informally with the employee if relevant. And if the line manager perhaps hasn't been named as the person who's causing the stress, look at employees' workload as well. So what's working and what's not? Is there something else that you could be offering to this employee that might help them either feel more challenged in their role or might remove some of the burden of their role from them? Look at your employee assistance programs as well. These are important so that employees feel that they're able to speak up and speak out. As Mary mentioned there, people might actually be afraid to kind of come forward and say that they're struggling with their work because, you know, they might be afraid that it would be seen as you know, not being able to keep up with the demands of the job. So it's really important that there's an open culture within the business, so that everyone is able to speak up or feels able to speak up. And a really good way of doing that is to track complaints and make sure that you're conducting exit interviews. And remember that no HR professional is an island. To change workplace culture, you really need to have buy-in from the management team, and it needs to be, kind of holistic across the organization. I think that those takeaways were nearly longer than the entire episode. So I think they've gone from being summaries to being essays. So I'm going to have to work on making them a bit more concise in the episodes going forward. But is that kind of it, guys, for the stress, the addressing stress in the workplace?
Absolutely. Well done, Sarah.
Well done, Sarah.
Thanks a million, guys. So that's it from us. Make sure to stay tuned to the HR Room podcast. Subscribe to our newsletter if you haven't already done so, so that we can keep you up to date with all the latest episodes. And thanks as ever, Mary and Laura.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.